Now, that is just a silly video that portrays not the real version of who Jesus is. But if I were to ask you, who is the real Jesus? What would you come up with? How would you know the truth of who he was? In the world we live in today, truth has been devalued. It isn't worth as much as it once was. When I was a counselor, I had a bad moment as a counselor. I had this kid. Every now and then as a counselor, you have a kid who you're just like, you drive me nuts to my bones. Everything about you annoys me. And this is when I was in high school, so I had less tolerance for things. And this kid, everything I said, he's like, that's not how it would go for me. I can do that. And I remember we were talking about pepper, like just pepper at a table. And he says, I don't sneeze when I sniff pepper. I'm like, what's wrong with you, man? Why do you say this? And I said, really, let's try sniff. And he took a huge sniff. Huge. You watched the thing up into his nose. Well, I got in trouble as the counselor for suggesting him to do it. But in his worldview, pepper had a different effect. It didn't affect us, him, the way it affects us. He learned that day the truth of what pepper does. He sneezed for quite some time and then followed to cry also for a long time. But to him, the truth was irrelevant. He had believed in his head what he thought was the truth. Henry Muscular, an author, wrote this. He said, truth is irrelevant. What matters is what people believe. You know, the world we live in today, truth counts as a vote at the table rather than the table we judge things by. It's just a vote versus how I actually see the real world. Whatever is true and good for you. You know, that's the world we're in, where it's not a set standard, but it's a subjective one. You know, when I talk to people about Jesus, they'll say this: Jesus is good for you, but that doesn't work for me. And I go, who set the standard? Is Jesus either who he truly said he was, or was he a false? And the enemy of our hearts would do this, that he would try to lead people away from ever discovering the true Jesus, because that video said at the end, you're all evil, you're all sinners, there's no hope. That's not the truth. If Jesus is truly who he said he was, we are not people who are without hope. But the hope that we can truly hold on to that stands through all time is founded on Christ and Christ alone. There is no other way into heaven. That's what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So the entrance into heaven is only through Jesus and Jesus alone. And in some worldview, sometimes you go, it'd almost be nice if there was multiple routes. You know, because you love people and you don't want to see them hurt. But the way Jesus made it, he made it beautifully clear. Either Jesus was exactly who he said he was, or he was nothing at all. It was not true. It wasn't the truth. You know, if truth was relevant, meaning whatever's true is good for you and it works, you know, it ends up being a pathway into heaven, I got to tell you, I wouldn't bother going to people who don't know Jesus, and I wouldn't bother telling them about Jesus. Want to know why? Because imagine I go tell a kid named Johnny about Jesus. He goes, no, Michael, it's okay. I found a different pathway to heaven. And I could go, oh, praise the Lord. He's got a route. But Jesus said this, there is only one way. There is only one true Jesus. And the question is, who is it that I have seen or believe him to be? And when John wrote 1 John 4, he could see that people were seeping in and they were portraying a false version of Christ that wasn't the real version. It started right after Jesus was here on the earth. John was seeing people come in and paint fake pictures, and not literal pictures, but word pictures for people of who Jesus was. And he was seeing it didn't align with the scriptures, and the spirit that they testified to denied pieces of who Jesus claimed to be. So this is 1 John 4, 1 through 6. This is what it says. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have come out and gone into this world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge that Jesus has come from God, does not acknowledge that Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is even already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we can recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Thank you for making that so easy to read and explain, John. So nice and simple. I think we could just close right now and everybody go, I get it. I know what you're saying. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask that while we're here today, that you would give us ears to hear from you, Lord. Jesus, I pray that you would silence the voice of the enemy, and you would give us hearts to say, God, what is the truth? Help me see more of that, that we might be better lights for you, know you more, or maybe come into knowing you for the very first time now. So speak to us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So John, right off the cuff, wants us to know this, that this is a spiritual matter. Before he gets into talking about what he's going to state, he says this. He says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. When you come into conversations with somebody who denies the word of Jesus, you're not just dealing with an individual who is misled. You are dealing with a spiritual something that is misleading them, and the manifestation is the words they say. That's funny, hey? Often we just think about the words that come out of somebody's mouth. Keep in mind, the truth is the enemy never wants people to find Jesus. And so he'll create many alternative routes so that they won't find him. Why? Because if Jesus is the only hope, the best way to leave someone hopeless is that they'll never find Jesus. So whenever you come in contact with somebody's language or something that seems to be opposing the gospel or Jesus in some way, shape, or form, you're not just dealing with a person. You're dealing with a spirit of some kind. And that's not a comfortable thing. In North America, we like everything that is logical, explainable, and something I can feel, touch, and see. Because then there's no questions left. When it comes to spiritual matters, it makes you uncomfortable because it's not perfectly explainable or understandable now. But John wants us to know that we are dealing with spiritual matters. Again, I mean, I was a counselor for years at many camps. And I remember there was this one kid who didn't quite fit in with the cool kids, but he really wanted to. And so he was willing to do anything to fit in. And all of a sudden, one day, I saw him do one of the most heinous crimes at camps in my books. He went to a boy who had a disability, and he began to mock him in front of the whole crowd. And then he pulled a prank on this kid, embarrassing him in front of everybody. And I remember when I went up to this kid, I said, dude, why did you do that? And he doesn't rat out the real reason why he did it, but it turns out later on, he was the face of the crime that was committed by other people. There was a group of people behind him who convinced him to do it. You see, he was the one who acted it out, but there was a bunch of people behind him who were actually the minds driving the force. And that's the exact same thing when it comes to spiritual matters. There's a spiritual force at bay working that you might be seeing the fruit of it in the individual that might be proclaiming that Jesus is something different than what the Bible states. But it's an evil spirit. So pay attention to that. Ephesians 6:12 puts it well. You know, if you still go, Mike, I wrestle with this because it's uncomfy. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of the heavenly realms. So while we're engaging in this, guys, it's spiritual more than just material. Two, he says, watch out for false prophets. Many false prophets have gone out into the world and are even here now. That's what he says. Not all people who use the name of Jesus follow the true Jesus. They might come and mention his name, but they don't portray the real picture of who he is. And the words I want to say to you now is this: do not fear. Take heart. This is not to be a sad message of like, oh no, have I been misled? 1 John 3, right at the end, he says this: that God, we know it by the Spirit he gave us. The Spirit that is in us will always proclaim to the message of Jesus. It will never deny. God will never deny himself. Does that make sense? Whatever Jesus stated he was and is, it says that he is unchanging. And his Spirit that he gave us will also proclaim to that. And so God has put within us a Spirit, his Spirit, that can help us know whether or not I'm encountering right now a true or false prophet. That's the first thing you can hold on to. Hold to that tightly, because God will always testify to that. And two, God has given us his word. You know, if you got a Bible, that is the best way to find out who did Jesus say he was. If you want to know the real picture of Jesus, study the Bible. Now, Bradley, could you throw me my shoes there? I got a pair of shoes. Just one's great. Just one. Yeah, just the one. Okay, thanks. The best way to know the real thing is to study the real thing. That's how you can tell a counterfeit, if you study the real thing. Bankers know a real bill from a fake bill because they study the real bill. Okay? I know that was a lot of back and forth. But see this shoe here? One, this shoe and this shoe are the same shoes, but one of them's fake. One of them's truly not New Balance. One of them's from DHgate that I purchased online for much less than these shoes. And you can look at them and you might go, how do I tell the real from the fake? And I say, well, you put them on and I can tell you right away, I can tell you which ones are real and which ones are fake. But once you study a shoe, you can begin to get to know what the real and the fake is. I mean, most of the time I go to high schoolers, with when I put on my fake Jordans, it's not even like 20 seconds before they go, those things ain't real. They know. Imagine if they applied themselves to school that way. It'd be amazing. Thanks. But there's a real and a fake. And the best way to tell it is by studying the real thing. And that's how we can know a false and a true prophet. Now, something I witness quite regularly, especially within the church, is how quickly we can throw around the word false prophet. We can call just anybody, essentially, the definition of what we want to live by is this: anybody who does not agree with my way of thinking is a false prophet. And, well, that's the truth, guys, especially if it's my view, then you are all wrong. Just kidding. That is not the view of what a true false prophet is. A false prophet is best defined like this in my books: a belief that redefines God, or a belief that redefines the gospel. So a message that changes the way that somebody can be saved and who Christ actually was, that's who a false prophet. If they do anything along these kinds of lines, they deny a piece of the scripture. These are things that you can then state someone as a false prophet versus, you know, somebody teaches something that I don't agree with. So what I want us to look at now, I mean, this is way more like a classroom a little bit today than my natural opportunity to preach. But this is good stuff just to know. I want us to look at the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed was written because they wanted to help people kind of get a grasp on key pieces of theology, key things that makes a Christian, and what makes somebody not a Christian, okay? And so these were the statements that if you were to go to a Baptist church, a Presbyterian church, an Alliance church, a Lutheran church, we would all proclaim the same thing. Though we're different denominations, we would be able to read this together and go, yeah, that checks out, even though our practice of how we do things may look different. So to help everybody stay on focus, we're going to read this bad boy together. And I am dyslexic, so I will get lost on the way. So join with me while we read the Apostles' Creed. It says this: I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrections of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I did much better this time. Good job, everybody. That was awesome. So here you even see the word Catholic Church. Catholic means union, not Catholic Church like Catholic Church, like the Catholic Church. Catholic just means union, okay? Just to make clarity on that. But this statement here was written so that people could essentially be able to go, what do I believe? Each one of these lines you will find highlighted somewhere within the scriptures that would state a key piece of doctrine within Christianity. So you can find it all there. And so, helpful tool to just hold on to is this. When I was working at my Korean church prior to being here, we read that every single Sunday. Every Sunday we read that. And it was kind of cool practice. But key helpful thing. So that's called the Apostles' Creed. If you are interested in going through and reading that, there's also one called the Nicene Creed. Very interesting stuff. This stuff was written over 1,600 years ago. So it hasn't changed in all of that time. So pretty sweet stuff. But often, and like here when John is talking, when it came down to what was going on, there was a denial of a piece of the Trinity. Okay, so you heard the word Trinity in there. So there was a denial. Usually if a heresy happens when somebody denies a piece of the humanity or divinity of Jesus. Okay, you'll see that, and there's verses attached to it. Because in my books, I'm going, man, if I were to ask you, if you call yourself a Christian, and I say, okay, can you tell me where would you turn in the scriptures to find the divinity of Jesus? Do you got an answer? If I were to ask you, where do you find the humanity of Jesus? Do you got an answer? Here's what I will tell you. Most Christians or the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Latter-day Saints, number one picking grounds for gaining new believers in their congregations are churches, because most people don't know a thing about the scriptures or about the key doctrine that makes up the Bible that makes up the Christian faith. And so if you don't know them, don't walk away with your head down. Take a picture of this and maybe go study some of these things. But what you'll see is humanity and divinity is seen in John 1:1 through 14. Go read it. It's very confusing, very helpful. First, Philippians 2:6-8 as well also highlights that. So most of the time, if there's going to be somebody who's going to lead you astray, like Paul here, John, what he's wrestling with is somebody denying the flesh of Jesus. So somebody said Jesus actually didn't come in the flesh, right? So they deny the birth of Jesus from Mary. So the key Christian word is incarnation. They don't believe God actually came out of heaven and was incarnated here on earth. And so that'd be one of the key things. Jesus has always existed. There are some religions that would say that Jesus was the first of creation. And so you can see, if you were to go to John 1:10 or 1 Corinthians 6:8, that Jesus always existed. So if someone makes a heresy often, meaning steps outside of Christianity, it denies one of these things. Following is the Trinity. The church used to have something called Trinity Sunday. I'm sure it was a real ear grabber for that one. But really the key part of it was talking about this important piece of doctrine, meaning fundamental belief of Christianity, that people would know. The average Joe could potentially slightly explain the Trinity. If I say that to most people, they got no idea. But Matthew 28 highlights all three pieces of it. And if so, there'll be people who will say Jesus wasn't God, nor was the Holy Spirit. It's only the Father who is. And so that's when someone steps outside of Christianity. And the oneness then of the Trinity, right? We believe it is three in one. And that is a key piece. And we see that in John 10, 30, where it says, the Father and I are one. Deuteronomy 6, 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And so most of the time, somebody steps outside of Christianity, it's a denial around something of these pieces. And maybe as much as this isn't an ear grabber of going, how does this help me, you know, with my marriage? This helps you know the truth of what you're holding on to. And examples that we have today are the Latter-day Saints Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses. And this is not me throwing stones to be hurtful, but it's just the truth. You know, I've had my friends who are Mormon say, we're brothers, man. And I look at them and say, hey, I love you, but I wouldn't call us brothers because I don't agree with things that you teach. And here's what they teach, just pieces. It says that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer, a.k.a. Satan. Nowhere in the scriptures will you find that. That Jesus became a God. Jesus has always been God. They don't believe that the Bible is without error and you are saved by what you do. Christianity is the only world religion that says God came down and did for you what you could not do. Every world religion says you got to work your way to God. It is only Christianity that God came and did it himself. And so these are valuable pieces to hold on to, not to use as ammunition against, but as recognition of why we would say that they are not our brothers in Christ. Same with Jehovah's Witnesses. They deny the Trinity. They don't believe in the Trinity. They believe that Jesus was created and is actually the Archangel Michael. It is the lesser form of God. Jesus was born on earth and is only human and not divine. Spiritual resurrection, not a physical one. And now if you go back and now read that against, now take these little pieces that I grabbed and go read the Apostles' Creed again. And you'll see where they stepped outside of Christianity. And so there are false prophets that come into our world today. And the hope is not to use this of looking and saying, you fools, but as hopes of being able to point people back to the light. And so also for us not to be hoodwinked. I don't want us to be led astray. And so he goes on to say this, though. We're not without hope. He says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Man, we carry the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ will always testify to his Spirit. And so when something fishy comes along, you can kind of smell it and be like, that doesn't seem right. And he's given us his word that we cannot be hoodwinked. And we can know the genuine, true Jesus. And here's my real heart takeaway. I want people to get to know the real Jesus. Because the more that you know the real Christ, the more hope that you will walk with through this world. The less of Jesus you know, the more likely that you will try to cling to something that's not Jesus for the hope of this world. If I were to ask you what gives you hope today, what is the answer that you have? Jesus said this. He says, peace I give to you, peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. You see, when the world gives peace, when it goes, so goes your peace. You trust your capabilities and your skills. What happens if you become paralyzed? You trust your money. What happens when your business fails? What do you hold on to for peace then? And Jesus says, I don't give peace like that. He says, when I give you peace, it doesn't go anywhere because Jesus doesn't go anywhere. And here it says, take heart. In another place, it says, take heart. Jesus is saying this, for I have overcome the world. You know, when you know the giant of Christ that you have standing with you, it doesn't matter the giants or the things that are before you, no matter how big they are, because you walk with Jesus. So I want people to know the real Jesus so they don't have to fear the circumstances that come their way and to be able to stand taller. That's one of the reasons why I want people to know the real Jesus. Two, the purpose that you were made was given to you by Christ. And the less you know of Christ, the less you're going to know the job description God wrote out for you. You know, can you believe that when God made you, he destined and purposed you for something? And he did not make me and my wife the same person in the sense that she has a different. Yes, we're married. Maybe that was a bad example choice. I'm going to use somebody else. My father-in-law. We are not the same person. We've been destined and purposed for two different things. And God did not make me him on purpose. And God did not make him me on purpose. And what he was made to do is different than me, and the same for you. The more you know Christ, the more you get to know the purpose of why you're here on this earth. You know, one of the number one reasons people commit suicide is because they lack the knowledge of meaning. Isn't it insane that people don't know why they exist? And Jesus wrote it out for us. And he's the one who says to you, man, I've got a hope and a future for you. Do you believe that? We know, when we know the real God, the more hope that you can give to everyone that you come in contact with. You know, I don't pretend to be the most smart man in the room ever. But I've got one simple thing that I do know. And it's that Jesus is the only hope that I have to offer anybody. I got nothing else. I don't try to pretend to come with a different message. I don't pretend that I can save you. I've got one message, and it's the message that Jesus can save you. And that has become the truth because I have learned more of who Jesus really said he was. And so I want people to walk with that confidence, because confidence cannot be faked. You can try your best to fake confidence, but at some point, if you don't believe the foundation you stand on, the world will come crumbling down around you. And if you don't truly take that leap of faith of saying, Jesus, I genuinely believe in who you are. And I really believe that you are the only hope. And I really believe that you love me and died for me and are my ticket into heaven. If you don't have faith and believe that, the grounds that you stand on are still wobbly. And so I want people to be able to hold on to that, because I want to see more of the world step out in this piece of truth when they walk into anybody's world. And be able to only offer one piece of hope. You know, one of my favorite movies, I used it when I was at our youth retreat this weekend, is Radio. And Radio is about a boy named James. And James is slower than most people. They never figured out what kind of disability he had, but he had a disability of some kind. He was slow on learning to speak. He never could get a job. And so he spent most of his days walking through town alone. And he would stop during football season, and he would watch the football players play. And he had nobody in his life. He often had a little radio that he would walk around town with playing, just the music or something. And one day, while he was watching the football players play, this is when Radio's life changed. The football players saw Radio, and they decided to pull just a nasty prank on him, and they called him in. They tied him up, put him inside a shed, and they began to throw footballs at that shed while he's locked up in there. When Coach Jones saw that, he came bursting in, and he made those boys run like they never run before. But something changed in Coach Jones that day. The next time he saw Radio, he invited Radio to come onto the field, be with us. Then Radio became the water boy. Then Radio started going with them to every football game. And by the end of the movie, Radio was leading the charge for the football team when they would run through that piece of paper. But do you know what the story really goes to show me? Was this. Radio walked alone in life, lost in a dark and lonely world. And Coach Jones chose at some point to say, I will not stand for that anymore. And I'm going to reach out and I'm going to be the help to this boy. When Jesus looks at his church, he says this. There is a dark and a lonely world, lost like Radio. And God says to his people, will you leave them in the dark? Because Jesus is the one who says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. If you believe in Christ, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill that cannot be hidden, and the world left in dark, Jesus has assigned to you to be the light in dark places. So either I believe the true Jesus and offer that hope to the world, or I continue to be potentially missing out on this incredible call that God has. And so that's why, to me, sharing the real Jesus actually really matters. Knowing the real Christ really matters. Because it gives us opportunity to share hope in this world. So you can know the true Jesus by the Spirit he's put in you. And two, you can challenge anything against his word, because God will never contradict himself. To close, I'm just going to read a few things that I love about Jesus. And these are all things you can find in scriptures. Jesus, what other God stepped out of heaven? walked among his creation, humbled himself even to death on a cross so that we can live forever. That I serve a God that nobody is greater than. I love that I can trust him, that I can know him because of what his word says. I love that I have a friend that never leaves. You know, I don't know about you, but I have days where I've been such a bad friend, I don't think I deserve anything. And Jesus says he's a friend that never goes anywhere. I love that he wants to save people from darkness, because that was once me. I was lost. I love that he gives all people a great purpose. I love that I don't have to wonder how much I'm worth. You know how many times I sit with people and that's the line I say, do you have any idea how much you're worth? I love that Jesus says that you are more valuable than anything, more precious than the most precious of stones. I love that there was no greater light than him. I love that I don't have to worry about tomorrow because Jesus gave me peace and assurance that he's in control. And I love that he is my healer, my savior, the one who makes me look more like him, and my forever king. Those are just a few pieces. This isn't even an exhaustive list. This is a short list of things of who Jesus is. But those are things that I go, man, I love this about Jesus. That's the real Jesus on the screen there. Just pieces. So my encouragement is, man, if you don't know Jesus yet, if you haven't yet given your life to him, it is the best decision you could ever do. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done. Would you be the Lord and Savior of my life? And if you're a Christian already, my challenge to you would be, learn who Jesus is more and more, because the more you know, the greater life you get to live, because he's the one who said, I have come to give you life and life to the full. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for each one who's here. Thank you, Jesus, that you desire to encounter us and speak to us. Lord, I would just ask if anybody here feels that they've been led astray, God, that you would just use your spirit and be speaking to them. Thank you, Jesus, that we can hear your voice, that we are not walking through this world alone. Lord, give us eyes to watch out for false prophets. Thank you, Lord, for your word that speaks, that we can trust your word when we open it. And if people wrestle with these things, God, I would just pray for vulnerability and honesty in those things. If people open up your word and they go, I struggle to believe that. Jesus, I pray they wouldn't be silent about that, that they would turn to others and walk through these things together, that we wouldn't just pretend that we've got it all figured out, but we would genuinely and honestly come before each other and you, Lord Jesus, with our genuine and real questions. Thank you that you care about those things. In your name we pray. Amen.